There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
What is the one offseason goal you have for the Houston Texans? 713-780-ESPN. You get one. What would it be, Blankers?
I mean, as much as there's others that I would be focused on, it's got to be the offensive line. Figure it out. I don't know if it's that simple or not, but figure out the offensive line, because I just don't want to see a team derailed for a second straight year by an offensive line that, between the ability and continuity and everything that goes with it, that just can't give your quarterback the protection that they need. And that, yeah, they ran the ball fairly well when Mixon was healthy, but at the same time, that offensive line has to be priority number one.
Chalk. Chalk. Everybody, the offensive line is definitely number one. Alex says, fix the offensive line on the Twitch. H-Town Vader, fix the offensive line. XXRon, fix the O-line. It's the number one. Survey says this is the number one answer. If I told you could only get one position on the offensive line, what would you say?
Well, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's between center and left guard for me. And you know, if you want to move Howard to left guard and you want to leave and move Fisher to right tackle, then it would be center. So I'll say center.
Okay. Is Juice Scruggs a starter for you?
Where? I don't think.
It's your decision. You're picking a center. So
yeah, I'm gonna pick a center that is either available in free agency or if they can try and pull some kind of a trade off. I don't even know, unless, because I don't think there's a Linderbaum type center in the draft. But I just need someone from the outside coming in that is a very capable center.
Yeah, so I'm asking, with the addition of that, is Juice starting somewhere else, or is he a backup for you?
Well, then I think that you would go Laramie. You would go Howard. You would go that center. Shaq's iffy, and then Fisher. So I guess Shaq's back and Fisher's on the right side.
Okay, yeah, I'd probably go Juice in that scenario at right guard. Yeah, Shaq Mason's not on my football team next year under that scenario. If I had one offense, because you look at NFL.com, they did their one off season edition for every team, fixed the leaky offensive line. CBS had one free agent for every team. They picked Kevin Zeitler, I think is how you pronounce it, offensive guard. It's a little different than center, but on that offensive line, played for the Lions. So if you went one position, I think I'm with you at center. I think center would help a lot with C.J. Stroud. I think it would help a lot with the new gap scheme that the Houston Texans, we think, will be running under Nick Caley, their new offensive coordinator. So the only thing that I would change under, if I went one, is I would probably have Juice at right guard. I would also have Fisher at right tackle, and I would have Titus at left guard. Sorry, Titus, but I'm paying you lots of money. You will do what I say. So I would go that scenario, too, with the only exception being Juice at right guard. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, I'm a little different than what you guys had. I mean, I think we all obviously agree that we're talking interior offensive line, but we don't want Shaq Mason on this team. He's not a part of the Texans in 2025. I would actually go right guard because I guess mostly because I like the options that you can maybe play at left guard and center a little bit more that are already here. And I also feel even if the left guard is a little bit lesser with them being next to Laramie Tunsil, you feel a little bit better there that the one side of the line is, you know, not just a complete a group of misfits. So I'd rather have the stud at right guard if we're talking about finding one for the three interior positions and then figuring out left guard and center with some of the guys you already have on staff like Titus Howard and Juice and Jarrett Patterson.
So who would you start?
I would start left guard would be Titus Howard, and center I would go Jarrett Patterson, and then right guard I'm bringing in, you know, hopefully a free agent or if you find one in the draft that's a stud, but that's where I want my big improvement.
King of Twitch, yeah, fix the offensive line, battery jug, guard and free agency, draft a tackle. That'd be interesting if they drafted a tackle, especially considering the round, because you drafted a tackle last year in Fisher in the second, and you kind of have three starting capable tackles between Fisher, Howard, and Tunzel. A couple of more. Alex says, if Howard doesn't like it at left guard, trade his behind to Cleveland. Yeah, that's my feeling towards players, too. You don't want to play the position I need you to play for the best interest of our team? Well, you're going to find another team. So I like where Alex's mind is on that. Texter, turn the Texans O-line into the Lions O-line. Hashtag make O-linemen great again.
Easier said than done.
Very much. Yeah. Good luck.
Just find Panay Sewell and throw off the scrap heap.
Yeah, now is it Zeitler or Zeitler? I don't know. So,
I think it's Zeitler.
I don't know random offensive lineman names.
It doesn't matter.
I really
what his
don't.
Name
it doesn't matter what his name is. If he makes the rock, if he makes the Texans better, that's all that matters. If he actually signs here, if he doesn't sign here, I couldn't care less about him. Brandon T to get Stingley a contract extension. That's probably going to happen, but it wouldn't be very high on my list.
It's not
in
advantageous
of,
for you.
No.
No, especially from like a fan perspective. Like you want the very best for, you know, the team and the team getting better. Stingley is already under contract next year, so it's not like an extension puts him on the team. But I do think that's going to happen. And I've been reading that the Stingley contract's going to make him the richest corner in the NFL.
I can see that. I absolutely can see that. But again, I think that getting back to the first point, he ain't going anywhere, so you can do that at any time. The biggest priority in the offseason before you get to any of that stuff is the housekeeping on the stuff that was broken last year that you damn well better fix before you get into next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it could be coaching too, though. Like, it wouldn't shock me if there's not as much turnover on that offensive line as we think. And instead, they just try to coach it up way better. Like, if they realize that this offensive line was coached up very, very poorly, and they all, like, you know, come to a consensus that, yeah, that was really, really bad how that was coached up. We feel like our new coaching staff, although one of them's a holdover in Popovich, new offensive line coach, if they're like, yeah, we can make these guys better, I could actually see them not turning it over a ton because they don't have the cap space that they did last year. Yeah, you can rework some deals. It seems like they need to be in on a couple of other free agents at key positions. Mm-hmm. So I could see them going that route. It would be scary, but I could see them going that route.
Yeah, I just can't see it. I can't see it, but I hope that maybe it is fixable.
What's the minimum for you? Like, what do you think the minimum number of new offensive linemen starters there are?
Minimum's one. I prefer two.
Well, that's not a whole lot of turnover then. Like, you said you couldn't see that, and then you're predicting one or two.
Well, because I still think you have some guys in-house that are going to fix some of the problems, like moving Howard from tackle to guard and keeping him there. I think that can solve the left side next to Titus. And then you've got Fisher in-house. He can play right tackle. So now you just replace right guard and center, and those are the two. And I think you've retooled the entire offensive line.
But that's agreeing with me. Like, that's agreeing with what I said. And you're like, no, you can't see it. Like,
I don't think changing two guys out of five is minimal. I mean, that's...
I don't either.
That's 40%.
That's not high turnover.
40%?
I think it is.
I mean, okay, maybe the difference is one or two, but he said one or two.
Sure. Yeah, one I would agree with you would not be minimal, but two, 40% of the line, I think that's significant.
Fair enough. If Stingley's going to get a top-end contract, then wouldn't they want to do it sooner before the number goes up? I think that's a good point. Like, yeah, if you're going to sign a guy long-term and you know you're going to do it, I think it is good to kind of, you know, not to... First to market isn't the right phrase because other people have been in the corner market. But, yeah, I mean, inflation is going to send the number up eventually.
Yeah, I think you get it done before the season. I just don't see it. I don't see it as advantageous to do it before free agency. Like, I have that conversation in, you know, May, June, even July, right before camp. The only thing that would maybe scare me into doing it sooner or putting any sort of rush on it, and I'd have to look this up to see if it's the case, but there's other, like Sauce Gardner, obviously, same draft class. But if there's other corners that you're worried about getting to market first and setting a price higher than you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, it's not a matter of at what point in the offseason. It's more of this offseason. Like, if you want to do it closer to camp, that makes sense from the total finances of your offseason plans. What about receiver? We have Nico, and that's it. I think receiver is going to be pretty important
yes, sir.
In the offseason. I think that they're going to sign a veteran and draft a guy like with a top three round pick.
I agree, and you and I were talking about it yesterday, and I'm fine with them using that first round pick if the right guy is there, where they're picking in the first round for a wide receiver. But I think that they definitely need to explore a veteran and someone in the draft, and it's imperative because of what you're dealing with injuries and the fact that Diggs is no longer under contract, and Tank. You know, you just hope for the best at a certain point, God knows when, that he'll be back. So in the meantime, that has to be a priority.
Texter says Tunsil at left tackle, Howard at left guard, Patterson at center, Trey Smith, the one change at right guard, and then Blake Fisher at right tackle. They also need an elite tight end. Find a way to draft Tyler Warren. I don't think that they're going to really bring in a tight end. Plus, I mean, you could trade up. Nick Caserio has been a willing-dealing son of a gun. You could trade this year's first and the next year's first to move up to get Warren, I think. I think Warren's going to be in the teens somewhere simply because of the financial. You don't save finances whenever you draft tight ends in the first round. I think that he'll slide outside of the top 10. I think if they really wanted him, they could get him. But I don't think that they're going to really want him. Like, you have Dalton Schultz that's going to have to be on this team because of his contract. Mm-hmm. You re-signed Brevin Jordan, and Cade Stover will be entering his second year. Like, I don't think that they're going to be major players with first-round tight ends.
No, I agree. Yeah, look, I'd love them to – there's a couple of tight ends. The kid from Miami showed out really well.
John Smith.
Senior Bowl.
Oh, you're talking about University of Miami. Okay.
Yeah, where like maybe not in the first round, but you know in the second or third, you might be able to see something like that if you needed him. But unless you're trying to move on, and like Jeremy's pointed out in the past, you can't it's not easy to do, and there's going to be remnants left if you try to get out from under Dalton Schultz. So I just don't think they're going to do anything with tight end.
Yeah, if you can trade Dalton Schultz for like a late round pick swap, cool, do it. I just don't think that market's going to be there. You need a smart center that knows the scheme, says the texter, the offensive scheme that we're going to start running, and he can call the block protection because he knows system, and we need someone that's got a little bit of a brain there. He's calling Jared Patterson, Drew Scruggs, and maybe even C.J. Stroud dumb. But I like where his mind's at. Like, yeah, hey, Nick Cayley, is there a center out there that's attainable that you really like that's on the same page with you that can really make this offense better in terms of coverage scheme? I think it's a really good idea. I wouldn't know the players that exist that Cayley knows like that, but I like where his mind is at.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree.
Get Mason Taylor, very high floor. Trade up for Will Campbell. Will Campbell might be a top five pick. That's going to be very difficult to do. Texter says wide receiver and offensive line. Yeah, I could see them. I don't love the idea of drafting an offensive lineman in the first round, but if it's – I mean, if you love somebody and they fall to you at 25 – I wouldn't be mad at it.
Just need to be convinced it's Nick Cayley's pick and not Nick Caserio's pick.
That's what I was
going to
say. Like, yeah, that's the biggest thing. As good as he's been at drafting, wide receivers and secondary, I don't want to see any more high picks going to offensive linemen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. A few other tweets on the offseason goal. Get significant offensive line help in free agent. Add another weapon for CJ. Either in free agency or draft, revamp the linebacker core. I don't know if I dislike the linebacker core.
Aziz, I don't have a problem with it.
Revamped. They've got three.
You need Harris to be healthy.
Right.
Like, if
sure.
you feel like Harris is healthy going into the offseason, well, you got Aziz, you got Harris, and To'o To'o, I thought was a lot
solid.
Better as a sophomore than I thought
him.
He was going to be. So I'm okay with what they have at linebackers. If you wanted to draft a guy in the fourth, that's different.
The biggest key is, like, we got to see Christian Harris. We can't have another year of Christian Harris. Otherwise, you're going to need linebacker depth and more help. But if those three guys are healthy to start the season, I'll take those three guys.
Mm-hmm. Add a solid, dependable lineman. Add another receiver. Add another defensive back for credible depth. I think they can use depth at corner, especially outside corner, because it was a pretty big drop-off whenever you went from Stingley Lassiter to pick your corner of the week, whether it was Akuda, whether it was Ross for a game. There was a massive drop-off to that third outside corner. Wide receiver, completely overhaul the offensive line, either sign Diggs or get Cooper Kupp, and then smart draft picks, says Matt. That would be great. Smart draft picks.
Where
I like the idea of that.
Like, even just from a depth perspective, running back and safety.
See, I wonder if they think that Damian Pierce is a better RB2 this year than last year because of the
system.
Scheme.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would like an upgrade at your third down running back. Like, love Dari to death, but I would really like a third down running back that's capable. And maybe you can draft that guy, and he can eventually turn into more than a third down running back. So I'm cool with that. I wouldn't do that in the first, like, two rounds, three rounds probably. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to get one in the fourth or fifth, cool. Safety, they have a lot of guys under contract that are back. Like Bullock has emerged into a starting safety. I don't even count Jalen Petrie as a safety. He's a nickel guy. But Jimmy Ward is under contract too. So, like, you just bring back Murray as depth. Like, I don't see them spending a whole lot on safety, whether it's a high draft pick or whether it's a lot of money. I think it would be more depth or mid to late round draft pick.
Yeah, I would like depth at both positions, and I would like to see them address it either with, you know, free agency and guys that maybe are veterans that teams are getting out from under that you don't have to pay a whole lot for, or like you were saying, I mean, in the middle rounds, if there are guys that can give you better depth than what you have that have the chance to have some growth potential to turn into something better, then, you know, and again, I believe in their ability to, from a safety perspective, to kind of see talent in the defensive backfield to where I would love to see that.
Yeah, I mean, look, they drafted Lassiter in the second and Bullock in the third. It's not, I mean, you're not going to do that every single year, but if you just wanted to draft that depth,
that's
I'm okay
what I'm talking
with that.
About. That's exactly yeah. what I'm talking about.
Like, they've proven that they're pretty good in that regard, and I trust D'Amico a lot there too. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, I can turn a Kalen Bullock from a third rounder into a capable starter. Okay, we'll do that in the fourth round and make him a capable backup that can be an eventual starter.
And he did it in San Francisco too. It's not like it's just here that they've been able to do that, so I believe in that.
Like, he can find depth in the third, fourth rounds with his defense. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the way you go. And plus, it's cost saving, right? Like, if you don't have to spend money on free agents for those spots and you can draft them in the third or fourth, well, now you can use the financial resources offensively, which they have a major hole. Like, they need a bunch of stuff, you know?
No, for sure. And I'm totally with you. Look, you take Fred Werner, you take the kid that was hurt all last year but was phenomenal as a safety for the Niners, you know, and put those right there with what D'Amico and company have been able to do here. I totally believe in their ability, like you said, third round or so, to find a safety and find a running back that's capable of just being like a third round back, a pass catching back that can give you a better weapon.
Brandon T, would you prefer linebacker three or Ibuka at wide receiver if they were there in the Texans draft?
I'm a Ibuka.
Yeah, yeah, it's an easy wide receiver. I don't even think they necessarily need a linebacker three. I'm happy with their top three.
Yeah, same. That's 100 out of 100, Ibuka. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Super Bowl on Sunday. How much interest is there for this Super Bowl? But where do Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes stack up as the best quarterback head coach duos in NFL history? 713-780-ESPN. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let the good times roll. Take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational benefiting Kids Mills. This year's tournament will take place on Fat Tuesday, March 4th, 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Brown Bag Deli, dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, and 18 holes of golf. Register now at ESPN975.com under the promotions tab and use code EARLYBIRD for a $97.50 registration for a limited time. How much interest do you have in the Super Bowl, Chiefs and Eagles on Sunday?
I mean, I'd love to say, you know, at the same amount as in the past or more. I really don't. I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm curious because of the storylines with the Chiefs and the three-peat and, you know, seeing what the Eagles can actually do. But from the matchup, and we've seen it prior to this too, that I'm just not, this is one of those years where I'm just not feeling it as much as I might otherwise be for the Super Bowl.
I think I'll be excited come Sunday.
Maybe.
You know, lots to do between now and then. And Sunday, you know, we lounge around, we'll start cooking up some good food. I'll be in, you know, the commercials, and you'll feel the buzz of the game. But this week, I have felt zero about this game. Right now, currently, as I sit here today in this beautiful office, I feel nothing about this game. I'm sure I'll get there. I'm sure I'll get there Sunday. Sunday, I'll get excited because I got nothing to do Sunday. So I'll get excited Sunday, probably for the food. But right now, I feel nothing.
I'm with you. Like, the other night, we started coaching again, and practices started, and the discussion, and one of the parents was like, hey, you guys aren't going to practice on Sunday, right? Because I think we were scheduled to go from, like, 3 to 6. And I go, oh, that's right, are we? And they were like, our head coach is like, no, we got to practice. It's important. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll record the game. As opposed wow. to like, no, wait, it's the Super Bowl. We can't do that. I'm like, I could record it.
That's kind of crazy.
They're changing it because the parents were gonna push back pretty hard. Some of the parents are hardcore football fans. But yeah, I just to your point, maybe as we get closer to the game, I'll be more dialed into it. But right now, I'm just like, my God, it's exhausting watching ESPN.
Brian's fired up about it. He's taking Monday and Tuesday off of next week because he's expecting to go so hard and ham for this game.
Yeah,
on
that's
Sunday.
That's exactly the reason why I'm taking off. But I actually am. I wouldn't say, you know, it's not a 10 out of 10 or even an 8, but I think I'm fairly excited about this game. I mean, I know it's sometimes kind of the oversaturation. We've seen the Chiefs so many times. We saw the Eagles 2 years ago. We saw this exact matchup 2 years ago. But when you look at the players involved with Hurts and Saquon and A.J. Brown, obviously Mahomes and Kelsey, they both have really good defense. You have one star coach who's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. I'm pretty excited. Like the people on the field involved in the game with the players and the coaches are such a high level. It's hard not to be excited about the actual game itself once it kicks off. I do share maybe some of the tiredness of the ESPN storylines because it's just been pushed to death with the nature of these two teams.
How much ESPN do y'all watch?
I mean,
I just see the headlines when I'm looking up here on the TV while I'm at work, but it's just...
I'm not sure I've watched ESPN outside of a game in 5 years.
It's like it's noise on in our house because I can't stand, like, my wife insists on like TVs being on for the dogs too when no one's home. So it's like a lot of the TVs are on ESPN because she'll put it on CNN and I'll go behind her and say, no, we're gonna leave it on ESPN. I can't stand listening to CNN. But in the morning,
oh, you're a CNN family.
My wife is for
kidding.
Sure.
So
do the dogs prefer Wolf Blitzer or Stephen A. Smith?
I think that they would prefer more Stephen A. Smith than Wolf Blitzer.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah.
It's a little louder. It's a little bit more fluctuation in voice and tempo to where they can stay more engaged in it. And if you don't think that they watch TV, I can prove you that that's wrong.
Prove it to us.
Please,
there's been multiple times when there's a commercial with dogs on it, my dogs will heads pop up, eyes focused, little barking, some like noise making like they're ready to, like, when they see a dog in the park, you know, they get ready to, like, go see what's going on. They watch TV.
Do you want that while you're gone, though? Like, if that got the dogs excited and worked up, I wouldn't want that while I'm not
but
here.
I'm not saying every commercial, that's why on ESPN, I'm not worried about dogs being on the TV a majority of the time. Like, true story.
Well, then it's not entertaining to them.
It's noise. It's something going on. Like, true story, Les Alexander, like, because of the whole PETA thing and with his wife and everything, at one point, he was dead serious on creating a channel that was going to be distributed across all platforms so that your dog, it would be strictly like entertainment for dogs when you're not home. And he was dead serious about it.
No, I know
I'm
people
gonna
are...
I'm going to need to see this proof, though.
Yeah.
I don't care what you need. I'm just telling you what
you
I know.
You said you could provide
you
said
you
could,
it. You brought up
that I can prove that they watch it. Yeah, I can film it on my phone the next time and prove have it. A commercial with dogs where they pop up and start barking if they see a dog on a commercial.
I want to see it.
Yeah, we eagerly
await. Right, I'll see if I can capture it.
Yeah, capture. I do want to see it. Battery Chuck, you're an ESPN radio station. You should be consuming ESPN 24/7.
No thanks.
I watch games on ESPN, obviously, but I don't think. Oh, I'll watch game day. I take that back. I do watch game day, whether it's the college basketball game day or college football game day. Other than that, I'm not sure I watched SportsCenter in a 10 years, any of those talking head shows in the morning.
I'll watch McAfee, and I'll watch, like you said, I'll watch game day, but that's about it, usually about it.
I've never even seen McAfee.
It's on. McAfee's on while I'm prepping in the morning.
Yeah, not
I don't do the Greenberg and
but
the Stephen
if it's
A.
on, I'll glance over.
And at night, after the news, to fall asleep, I put SportsCenter on.
You watch the news?
Yeah, kind of have to sometimes, yeah. Again.
You're kind of emotionally invested?
Kind of tied into that, yep.
I'm not sure if I can't remember the last time I watched the news. Same. My wife will watch the Today Show in the morning, so I'll see like a little bit if I walk in the room or whatever. But I don't watch the news.
I wonder if that's a thing, because I never watch the news, but my wife will watch it every single morning before work.
Yeah.
I've never cared for it. And the same thing with my parents. My dad will never watch it. My mom watches it all the time.
But that's like for Lisa's.
There's something there. I don't know why, but
for Lisa's job, she needs to know if something happens before she goes to work too. But at the same time, it's kind of like that's her prep to pre-prep before she goes in. But at night, I mean, I want to know what's going on in the city. I want to know if there's something happening. Well, chances are that's going to happen every night.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like you tune into the news. It's a murder. Which restaurant's trying to poison you? It's, I mean, not to throw everyone under the bus, but it just feels like it's repetitive.
But like, to your point about the Today Show, like, in the morning, it's on because I want to know about traffic situations on the major thoroughfares, too. Huh?
On the Today Show? They
No, they do cut-ins.
Because they do local cut-ins. They do local cut-ins.
I was being a sarcastic jerk is what I was doing.
That never happened.
Sassy.
Texture says they deleted the proof like they delete the text. That's good recall, 3955. That might be my favorite text of the day. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Do your pets watch TV? A lot of people talking about their interest in Sunday Super Bowl. Where does your interest lie in the Super Bowl? Have you found that excitement yet, or do you think it's coming on Sunday? And we'll kick around the greatest quarterback head coach duos in NFL history. Where do Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes stack up there? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Not as excited as I would like to be. Kansas City seems to have refs on their side anyways. Another text, one of my dogs absolutely watches TV, especially shows with animals on it. The other two couldn't care less. I'm getting tired of all the gambling numbers and lines. It's getting ridiculous, says Keith. The other texter says if you have enough bets on the game, it's always exciting. So two different perspectives there. You only get excited if the Texans are playing. That's not true. I don't. I get excited for big games. I was super excited for AFC Championship. I was very excited for Ravens-Bills. It kind of feels like the season's over, though, like other than the one
game. It really
game.
Does. There's just a massive lull, and maybe it's also the fact that I've never really liked that off week in between the conference championship games and then the Super Bowl. But this year, for sure, it just feels like it doesn't have the juice.
Yeah, I really don't like it either. I feel like it is necessary, though, because like everybody gets there early and they do all that junk.
Not only that, just from a football perspective, you want to let guys try and heal up a little bit so that they're at the best they can be.
Best product for your biggest game. Yeah, I think it is necessary. I wouldn't change that if I were a commissioner, but I'm with you from like an entertainment point of view. Like it does seem like the gap kind of makes me lose a little bit of intrigue. Going fishing? Not until you've been to the 50th annual fishing show, February 12th through 16th at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Everything for the fishermen, all the new rods, reels, and lures, factory reps, guides from Alaska to South America, dozens of fully rigged boats and hundreds of kayaks, plus continuous clinics by expert fishermen cover salt and freshwater, and a kids clinic on Saturday and Sunday with giveaways as well. If you love to fish or just want to learn about fishing, don't miss the 50th annual fishing show. Check out HoustonFishingShow.com, HoustonFishingShow.com. Giving away a pair of tickets right now to caller number 3 at 713-780-3776. Caller 3, 713-780-3776. I'm more interested in the Puppy Bowl than the Super Bowl. Do you like the Puppy? You have a bunch of puppies. Do you like the Puppy Bowl?
No. I mean, that's not my thing. I don't even
never
know.
Watched it.
Yeah, I haven't either. I was like, I don't even know where to watch it if I wanted to watch it. I bet that the other three people in my house would love to watch it if they knew how to find it, but I'm fine that they don't know how to find it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
If you're listening, it's on Animal Planet.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I've never watched Animal Planet.
And what happens? They just all scramble
around? It's just a little mock field, and they have a bunch of puppies running around. It's pretty basic.
Do you ever watch the Westminster Dog Show?
No. No, never watched it.
I've seen more of
Joel's
that than I've seen
like
of the Puppy Bowl.
I have walked into a room where it is on and it is being focused on. Yes, my wife enjoys it. I should say this. She enjoys seeing the different breeds of dogs. She hates the fact that they are like forced to like not just live just a carefree life as a dog, that they've got to go through all this regimen.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, the ones that are, like, real pretty. Like, dogs aren't supposed to be that pretty.
Not
like,
great.
They're preppy and stuff. Like, dogs shouldn't be pretentious.
Like, all the excessive like brushing of the hair and, you know, all the other things. It's like, okay, that's a big
one. Yeah, not a huge fan. A week before the Super Bowl should be the losers of the conference championships. Winner gets the 33rd pick of the draft. Good luck with that. They're not going to play that.
No.
No way. And then extra draft pick there. That's not fair. Not as excited as I would like to be. KC seems to have the refs on their side anyway. I don't believe in the whole conspiracy thing. All right. Mahomes and Reed, I think, are climbing the list of all-time greatest quarterback head coach duos. Who are the greatest head coach quarterback duos of all time? And where do Mahomes and Reed stack up for you?
I think, to me, until they're knocked off the top, it's got to be Belichick and Brady. Just the sheer numbers and the wins and the appearances, that they are number one, and that I can easily now, especially with another appearance this year with this run, and it's not over yet for either guy. I think that Mahomes and Reed probably surpass the Walsh Montana duo. So I think Reed and Mahomes are probably second. And again, now if they execute the three-peat, it's going to be what's more impressive to you, three in a row, which has never been done before, or, you know, the amount of Super Bowls that Belichick and Brady won that had never been done before. And then there's really a conversation. But I think until we start kind of getting those kind of things and they get closer in terms of the overall number of Super Bowls they've won, I think it's Brady and Belichick, and then it would be Mahomes and Reed.
Yeah. Belichick and Brady would still be number one for me, even with Kansas City winning on Sunday. They would have four. Belichick and Brady have five.
Six.
They have at least six. They have at least six.
100%.
The internet says five. Why is the internet, wrong?
Yeah, they have six, and Brady article. Has seven total.
Brady has
right?
seven, yes. With the one in Tampa Bay. Belichick and Brady have six.
Yep.
This article is wrong. My bad. Yeah, this is from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Pro Football Hall of Fame has all their accolades. When was their last one? Was their last one in
2018 against the Rams?
Oh, okay. It looks like this article is from 2017.
So
they weren't wrong. It's just an outdated article. So do they jump to number one?
Not yet.
Do they have to pass it, or can they match it, and then with their three-peat, that's the tiebreaker?
See, I think they solidify two with the three-peat, and then it's how the rest of their careers play out, and especially if they stay together. But I'm saying, I don't know how much longer Andy Reid's going to coach. We know he's going to coach next year, but I don't know how much longer he's going to even stay in the biz.
Sure, but what do they have to do to pass them?
I think they got to get close.
They got to get to six, right?
To me, it's six. Well, to me, it's six and the three-peat. Because I think that if you tie them, but you have the three-peat as the trump card, that would surpass them, in my opinion. But let's say they lose Sunday, and then they win three more down the road, which kind of seems far-fetched with Andy Reid.
Right.
You know, I don't know if he coaches that long. But if they get to six without the three-peat, what about then? Because I don't think that would pass them.
See, I think the three-peat can be the trump card that takes them to into the conversation of surpassing, but I think they have to get closer to the six, and then you have that kind of in your back pocket to say if they're at five, but they have that, are they even, or is it a discussion? Yes, until they get to five with the three-peat, then I don't think it's a discussion. I just think that Brady and Belichick are going to be number one, and I don't see Andy Reid hanging around long enough to try and put three more under his belt.
Yeah, I mean, we're just kind of assuming, like, what would it take, though, to break it? Like, mm-hmm. It would be difficult for him to stay around long enough. Forget that. But I think that they either, A, have to pass them, or, two, tie them but have the three-peat, because that's something that the Patriots have never done. What about all these other olds? Paul Brown and Otto Graham, they won seven Super Bowl.
Those are championships, not Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, pre-merger. Right.
Yeah, that's like Lombardi and Bart Starr. As much as I love the Packers,
they won seven.
They did, but I mean, it was before. I just don't put them in the same conversation.
I'm not even factoring in pre-merger.
You guys are ageist.
There's really
no respect for
you. Yeah, you know me.
Everyone agrees Brady Belichick's number one. I think the only real conversation, and I know, Joel, you land on the Mahomes-Reed side, but the conversation is Mahomes-Reed or Walsh and Montana. I think I would, for right now, until this game is played, still side with Walsh and Montana.
Really?
They've got four. So
they got three.
I thought they have three.
They have three.
Montana won four Super Bowls. Maybe right, one of them was without
Walsh. He didn't win them all without Walsh.
One with Seifert, right?
He won with Seifert.
He did? Seifert won two? Because Seifert won one with Steve Young.
Steve Young.
Okay, I didn't realize Seifert had two. All right, well, then that changes the math a little bit. But I still think it's a conversation with the two of them because 3-3. But after that, I mean, there's no way you can have Reed and Mahomes lower than three.
What about Chuck Noll and Terry Bradshaw? They won four.
I guess, but look, this is maybe a little age bias, but
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's 100% age bias, and it's also a bias of style of play.
That's big.
I mean, I know Bradshaw's a Hall of Famer. But
how did Nolan Bradshaw play? What kind of personnel were they running?
I think a lot of 12 personnel. But you look at the numbers for Bradshaw. He had 14 seasons. He had two seasons over 3,000 yards. He only had two more passing touchdowns than interceptions for his career. I get it's a completely different era.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously 50 freaking years ago. But I would put Mahomes and Reed over. I mean, in part because the Chiefs are having to beat more teams. I don't remember exactly how many teams were in the league at the time Bradshaw and Noll won four, but it was less than 32.
Yeah, I don't like the comparing stats from eras, though. Like, totally different sport.
I get it.
Really.
No,
it'd be like comparing the Model T with the Ford Mustang. Like, the Model T was the best vehicle then. The Mustang might not be the best vehicle now, but you can't compare the two.
Sure, I get that's my own bias, but I still can't get past Mahomes and Reed had to beat more teams to get there, so
I'm not even going to worry about the teams. I just think that when you look at some of the stats that that were accomplished back then, and Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer and their defense, that was how the Steelers won championships. But if you just want to take it by titles, and we kind of do that in the NBA with like the greatest of all time discussions, and is it Kobe's five titles or LeBron's stats or MJ's full body of work? I think Noll and Bradshaw have to at least be in the conversation from Super Bowl wins.
I get that they are in the conversation, but there's fewer teams in the league when you play as far as just total teams you have to get through. One out of 32 versus one out of 26.
Yeah, I don't like the total teams though. Like maybe how many teams you have to beat in the playoffs.
I would add to that though. There's fewer teams you have to get through in the playoffs. There are fewer playoff teams back then, and the schedule was smaller, so you'd run less risk of injury having to play 17 games versus what back then 12, 14.
Do you see what guys were doing to quarterbacks?
I was just
going to
say, you
want to
talk about a physical league back then?
You breathe on Pat Mahomes and you're penalized for that. Go look at these dudes hitting Terry Bradshaw and then get back to me with injury risk.
Well, and pass interference and all that. It was all physical. You could use your hands. You could bump. You could, shoulder. There was the physicality level. It's just like with the NBA with the whole hand checking and knock some guy on his rear end kind of thing that you can't do now. It's a different game. I get it. But from a standpoint of physicality and toughness and the potential to get injured, back then it was a tough as nails sport.
I'll go read Mahomes third. If we're eliminating the olds pre-Super Bowl era with like Lombardi Starr and Paul Brown and Otto Graham, I'll go Patriots with Belichick Brady. I'll go Noll and Bradshaw two. I'll go Reed Mahomes three. But if they win Sunday, they jump to number two. And then if they get, I guess, two more, that's what would make them pass Belichick and Brady for me.
I think they're right on the cusp. I actually think that they're there at number two because I expect that they'll be back knocking on the door again next year, depending on what happens. And it's all going to be dependent to me on how long Andy Reid wants to keep doing this, because as long as they're together, they're going to have a legit chance. So I have them right there. I think I have them at two right now.
Okay, so you have them ahead of Noll and Bradshaw.
I do, yeah.
Man, and you were like the only one alive to watch those guys play with the three of us.
I knew it was coming at some point.
It wasn't that long ago. It was 80. The last year was 83. Like, that wasn't that long ago. I almost saw them.
Steelers? No, their last Super Bowl was 80.
I'm talking about their years together.
Oh, okay.
Chuck Noll and Terry Bradshaw's final year was together was in 83. They had 14 years together from 70 through 83. So, yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Terry, you're in the Hive. What's going on, Terry?
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. Honored to speak to you here. This is such a great topic. I really love it. I've got a few comments here. Belichick and Brady, I think, should be number one. And I if you took a board and put on the left and put on the right Kansas City and England and what New England, what they've done, in 18 years, Belichick and Brady averaged going to a Super Bowl every 3 years. They averaged going to a conference championship game every 2 years. I'm sorry, they averaged winning the Super Bowl every 3 years. They average going to it every 2 years. But what Reed and Mahomes have done, give me 3 or 4 more years before I can really make a comparison. But right now, it's amazing that they've gone to 7 conference championship games, 4 out of 5 Super Bowls we're talking about. If they can keep that pace up in the next 2 or 3 years, or certainly 3 or 4 years, I think they would pass them. As far as the Steelers, yeah, but, man, I agree it's a different time than what it is after the Super Bowl, or after the probably the 80s or 90s, once it's gotten to where all the longer seasons and stuff like that. But I got Kansas City second right now behind what New England's done, just for the sheer 18 years dominance versus 7.
There you go.
Yeah, I think – good call, Terry. I think that it's all dependent upon how long Andy Reid wants to keep doing this, because I believe that they will compete with the Belichick Brady if they keep this run going.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be fun. Texter says he's 68 right now, Andy Reid, or he's 66 rather. Y'all don't think he can coach until 75?
I think health factors into it. I think, you know,
you're saying he's unhealthy.
I'm not. I'm just saying health is gonna factor into it. I think that, like, his desire to want to keep doing it, which has already been a discussion that had to be confirmed, that he has agreed that he's coming back, and the owner Hunt said that he's definitely coming back for at least one more year. That kind of makes you worried about the fact that he might not want to do this for the long haul, no matter how great it is to have Patrick Mahomes. But yeah, if he wants to keep doing it and he's a lifer to that level, then there's no doubt that as long as he and Mahomes are together, they got a shot.
Do you think he'll coach until he's 75?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. Do you think he'll be alive at 75?
I hope so.
50-50.
Yeah, Do you think he'll be alive at 75?
I don't see him doing this complete total body and health.
How old now?
Transformation. 66. He loves his cheeseburgers 66. And his nuggies. And
there's literally prop bets about what burger he's going to eat after the game. I don't. At 75 feels like a stretch.
Yeah,
I agree. So do you think he'll be alive at 75?
No.
No.
I'm going to go yes, because I like people. And I root for humans.
I'm rooting for him. It's not that I'm not rooting for him, but if I had to bet on it, I'm going to bet he's not.
You're right. I don't care about feelings, but I like to make y'all look bad. Uncle Barney says the Steelers won despite Bradshaw, not because of Bradshaw. So Uncle Barney disagrees with me and agrees with you guys.
I don't think that's true. I mean, he had Swan and Stallworth had some really talented skill position players, but he had to throw the ball that they went up and caught. I don't know that.
his touchdowns to interceptions over his career, 212 to 210.
That's so different, though, than
it is. It's
now.
Like Aikman. Aikman's stats, but he won as a team, and the Cowboys won. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, his team carried him.
But he's in the Hall of Fame.
His team carried him.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Uncle
Barney's right. I'm on team Uncle Barney.
Uncle Barney usually is right. He's the smartest man that I know. So yeah, I don't love that he disagrees with me here. Best head coach quarterback combos, Brady, Belichick, Marino, Shula. You can't put Marino Shula up there.
No, he can't be top five, much less second.
The Killer Bees have as many Super Bowl championships as Dan Marino.
Right.
Montana Wash and then Staubach Landry. Somebody said Jimmy Johnson and Aikman. They did win 2, but probably not enough.
No.
Maybe that cracks the top 10.
Maybe they can be, 6, 7, 8 or somewhere around there, but they can't be top 5.
If Jimmy and Jerry don't have a falling out, maybe
it's a different conversation. Discussion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you think that they would have had more than 3?
I kind of
they
did.
Still won 3.
Yeah. I think
Cowboys
did. I think they might have had at least one more.
So you think that Johnson would have won one more had he just stayed there?
At least.
I mean, he's the one that.
Personnel wise and coaching wise, I think he was extremely good at what he did, and I think that would give them the chance to do that, yes.
I wouldn't go more than one, though. I would give them one, but that's it.
Okay. I mean, I think at least one. I think they're flirting with it. I think they're in probably another conference championship game.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, like an alternate reality of how it would have all turned out. The tiebreaker should be how many titles won and how many years. I mean, if you do something that's never been done before in NFL history, I feel like that's a trump card.
It is, but I guess I would side, like, this is why the three-peat is so important. Like, because I agree with you guys. If they get the three-peat, that is the trump card if they tie. But if they don't get it, and let's say they win 3 more titles after this, then I would give it to the Patriots in the tiebreaker for how long it spans. And plus, you'd have a 2 out of 3 years in the, like, what, the early 2000s and 3 out of 5 years in the mid 2010s. So in that case, the length and the longevity of the dynasty, I would give that tiebreaker to the Patriots, assuming, again, if the Chiefs don't get the three-peat.
Texture says you're underestimating Ozempic. I don't know if we know that Ozempic keeps you alive longer. I don't know if we have the science to back that up yet.
I don't think we know enough one way or the other.
To die earlier.
They right, saying, but it also could have side effects that cause you to die earlier, too.
Yeah, like, and I don't think Andy Reid's going to take it.
I don't think we have the data pool yet.
No, we don't. That's what I was going to say. I think on the Today Show, like last week, I think they were doing side effects of Ozempic-type products. And a side effect, which I would think is a negative, they actually said was a positive, that it helps, I think it was kidneys stay healthy or something. I was like, who knew that? Okay.
That stuff's over my head. I don't know anything about anything.
In between traffic reports.
Yeah. I'll put Walsh in Montana over Mahomes just because Walsh in Montana really changed the game. You can make the case that Reed and Mahomes have changed the game question. Too, though.
Look how the league has adjusted defensive-wise. I mean, the whole two-shell, everyone's playing zone and keeping two back is because of Mahomes and Reed.
Hey, look how the refs have changed, too. I mean... It's been quite the contrast. Deflategate, Spygate, and the Tuck Rule is number one all time. Well, who you putting number one all time, Texter? Yeah, it is number one all time. Deflategate, Spygate, and the Tuck Rule. Yes, they're all number one.
Overrated.
That is super overrated.
It's so stupid. I don't know why people care about this. I mean, it came out. I mean, there are several other quarterbacks that came out around that time. It's like, yeah, we like to mess with Aaron Rodgers was a part of that list. I think Drew Brees came out and mentioned it. It's so over. I can't. That's,
I didn't I, see that. That they actually admitted they messed with the footballs?
I can't think of anything more overblown than, oh, the ball's a little bit more deflated. Who cares?
They try to take the blame. They try to take the hit for Brady. It is easier to throw.
I think both. Yeah, it is easier to throw, but both teams got to throw it. So.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's not true. No.
They had their own
team
ball?
Supply.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
They do.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, it's not like NBA where there's a game ball. You're right.
That's why there's always that big drama, like especially in college football, when a team intercepts the other team's pass and they keep the ball.
That's right, yeah.
And there's always like drama when it comes to that. No, they use their own balls. Pessimistic Chad, guys in the 70s and 80s had off-season jobs because they made no money, plus quarterbacks took a beating. Old guys deserved their due. Hated Bradshaw, by the way. Also, BMAC take about more teams is nonsense. Panthers, Jags, Texans, and Browns 2.0 have done nothing.
They played more games against more teams in more playoff rounds now.
The playoff rounds, I'll hear you with.
They played an extra playoff round.
The extra teams, it doesn't matter. It's not that you're beating every team in the league. But the extra round matters for sure. But the teams in the league, I think, don't. And you could also make the argument that less teams in the league makes the top teams even better. So, like, that would be the contrast there.
I was going to pull the for BMAC's argument, the whole, you're playing against electricians and plumbers that only played the game when they had the opportunity to make some extra coin.
Yeah, that's true. They
is
did
that
it
from
as
NFL
a side hustle.
No, that's from the NBA when, like, Mad Dog or someone brings up, like, Bob Cousy and back in the day, and they're like, yeah, Chamberlain was playing against electricians and plumbers.
I hate that argument too, but it is funny. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I got a strange Instagram DM the other day. I want to run it by you guys. One, to see if it's real. Secondly, maybe to pay this guy a little respect. I don't know. It's awkward, and I want to share it with you guys next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.